You may have seen ads for a movie that's out tomorrow called Won't Back Down, which focuses on a failing school. Maggie Gyllenhaal and Viola Davis star as a fed-up parent-teacher combo who mobilize to take on the bureaucrats and the union.
And so we gotta do something right now.
We need to fix Adams, and we need to fix it yesterday.
The story is fiction, but the theme and controversy the film taps into are very real. Several states have passed what are known as parent trigger laws, which give parents a path to make changes in failing schools. A new curriculum, longer school days, different personnel. They could even take over entirely and turn it into a charter school. We want to hear from parents and teachers out there. Do you need a parent trigger law where you live? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Sean Cavanaugh joins us now by smartphone from his office in Bethesda, Maryland, where he's a reporter for Education Week. He's covered what happened at the one school so far where parents actually pulled the trigger. Nice to have you with us today.
Great for having me. Thanks for having me, Neil.
And I've not had a chance to see this new movie, but the story it tells cannot be possibly as convoluted as what happened at Desert Trails Elementary at Alanto, California. So take us back to the beginning. How did this get started?
Sure. Well, there have been just two attempts to use the parent trigger law so far in the state of California, which was the first state in the country to pass a parent trigger law. The first one, which occurred in the city of Compton, did not succeed, and the current parent trigger effort in Adelanto, California, you know, community northeast of L.A., you know, is very much in doubt. No one's certain how this is going to turn out. But basically, a group of parents in Adelanto who are frustrated with
And we're having a little difficulty with the...
There
you go. I'm sorry. Sean Cavanaugh, we lost you there for just a second. So we're in Adelanto, California, where if a majority, 51% of the parents, get together and sign a petition, they can force changes at the Desert Trails Elementary.
That's right. And the parents in Adelanto organized a petition to try to bring about an overhaul of the school. And according to a judge, they succeeded in gathering enough signatures from parents to bring about that change and to give them permission to move forward with converting the school to a charter. But the school district in Adelanto is not cooperating. They're of a very different view. They have proposed going forward with a different...
And we're going to get... Sean, let's get on the regular phone, okay? Because this is cutting in and out.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, could you hear me?
There. Are you back?
Yes.
Okay. I think this will be much more stable. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what we have is a group of parents who in Adelanto who've organized a petition, and they've, in order to convert the school into a charter, but the district in Adelanto is resisting that effort. They say they have an alternate plan for... revamping the school, which in most respects is much less radical than what the parents want. But that's where we are. We're at a standstill, and this matter has been locked in court. And until a judge rules on which side is in the right, it looks like the standstill will continue.
It's not just the school district that's resisting. This is not an idea popular with the teachers' unions.
That's right. It, not just in California, but in other parts of the country. Teachers' unions have, you know, questioned the wisdom of parent trigger laws, saying that these prove to be very divisive in the community, pitting parent against parent, parent against teacher. They also question whether parents would be susceptible to, you know, unscrupulous charter school operators coming in and proposing changes to a school that might benefit the operator but wouldn't necessarily benefit the students or the parents. So there has been strong resistance from teachers' unions to the parent trigger, certainly.
But getting back to Desert Trails Elementary, the parents seem to have some valid complaints.
Well, what they've said is, look, our school has struggled for years, and tinkering around the edges is simply not going to work. We need to overhaul the fundamental function of the school and the structure of the school, and they feel that they have complied with the law, gathered enough valid signatures to carry this movement forward. They've actually gone so far as they're already looking at bids from charter school operators who said that they'd be willing to help the parents transform the school. So they are moving forward, but it remains to be seen if what they want will actually become reality.
There are groups on helping the parents organize, a group called Parent Revolution.
That's right. That's right. Parent Revolution has been helping the parents from the very beginning. Their director is Ben Austin, who's actually a former Clinton administration White House official, and they've been very active in trying to help the parents carry this movement forward. At the same time, you know, they make the argument, look, this is a parent-led effort, and we are going to do what the parents at Desert Trails Elementary want.
It's interesting that you mentioned this was first passed in California. It's since been adopted in, I believe, Texas and Louisiana, and is it Mississippi?
Mississippi is another one. There have been seven states that have passed these laws. 20 states, by my count, have considered some form of the parent trigger in 2012 alone. So there is broad interest on the parent trigger, in supporting parent trigger policies. These laws go about the parent trigger in slightly different ways in terms of the powers that they give parents. In some states, the trigger allows a parent to convert a school, allows the parents to convert the school to a charter. In some cases, they can actually close the school and reopen it. In other cases, if the parents get a majority of signatures, they can partner with another district or even the state to help run the school. So the triggers work in different ways, but they all have the same basic goal, which is majority rule among the parents at the school.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Do you need a parent trigger law where you live? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And we'll start with Kim. Kim with us from Richmond.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a longtime involved parent and then ran for my local school board 6 years ago and have served on the Richmond, Virginia school board for the past 6 years. I don't think we need a new law, but because in Virginia, at least, local school boards are the authority that controls the schools, parents who are active and engaged can advocate directly to the school board and affect a lot of change with or without the parent trigger legislation.
I hear what you're saying, Kim, but Sean Kavanaugh, in the case out there at Adelanto, the parent who's been most prominent in organizing this was the head of the PTA.
Well, that's true. And, I mean, one of the look, it's hard to turn around a low-performing school, and clearly, having active and engaged parents is a key factor in doing that. One of the unknowns in all of this, you know, parent trigger talk is, you know, if these laws remain on the books and go forward, how much interest will there actually be among parents in using the parent trigger, or will parents simply say, look, I mean, this is a major effort we're undertaking. Do we really want to sustain this for however many years it takes to turn around this school? And that's what we just don't know at this point.
But to have parents organized enough to get 51% to sign a petition suggests that they are at least somewhat engaged, and that there's a failure of communication between the leadership at the school and the leadership of the parents.
Well, that's true. I mean, as someone who's covered education a while, I can't think of many issues where it's easy to get, you know, 51% of parents at a school behind any effort. So, if you can reach, I mean, that's a pretty high bar. And so I've had some state legislators tell me in different states where they pass these laws, look, we don't expect a whole lot of schools to actually go with a parent trigger because it is such a high bar. So the fact that a school could reach that point, I mean, suggests that there is a pretty strong amount of interest in you know, doing business a very different way.
Kim, are you still there?
I'm still here, and I would advocate that parent trigger laws already happen all over the place in local school board elections. You know, we're the folks closest to the ground, and if people in the schools don't like what's going on in their school, it's their job to unelect us and elect somebody who would do that. A 51% vote works just as well in a local election as it does in a school overturning. And let me tell you, in some of the high poverty and low resource schools that I've been working in, 51% of parents even involved in the PTA would make a tremendous difference. There is no such thing as a bad school with a highly involved parent body. There's just no such the animal.
Kim, thanks very much. But Sean Kavanaugh, the situation in Adelanto complicated by the fact that a significant fraction of the parents at, in that school district are here illegally.
I know that issue has come up out there, and it has certainly provoked some controversy and some divisions within the community. You know, I will say that I have heard from a lot of parents in Adelanto who side with the school district, who do not support the parent trigger effort, but they say that, you know, their voices have not been heard during this process. So, but I mean, the larger issue is that these efforts can prove divisive in communities. And if it were easy, I would imagine we'd be seeing more of these efforts going forward, but we're not.
Sean Kavanaugh, reporter for Education Week. We're talking about parent trigger laws and one particular case at Desert Trails Elementary in Adelanto, California, kind of the basis for the new movie Won't Back Down. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Karen. Karen on the line with us from Houston.
Yes, I'm calling from Texas, and we do have a parent trigger law, but it is not a very strong law compared to what's in California. And what I wanted to share is that under state law currently, parents have rights, such as, for instance, in a public school, you would have a class size cap of 22-1 in K through 4. You wouldn't get that if you were going into into a charter school or into a takeover situation. Parents would be giving up certain rights. So we have a whole section of our education code that relates to parent rights, but they don't apply. Many of those rights do not apply to students who are in charter schools. So you really would be giving up something.
Sean Kavanaugh, is that right?
Well, that could be in certain states. I think that what advocates of the parent trigger would respond by saying is that you might be giving up some of those things, but the advantage you'd get would be perhaps you by converting to a charter, you get more specialized services, a curriculum that suits the needs of students, interventions that help the particular needs of students, perhaps a longer school day, things that current collective bargaining agreements may not allow. So what the caller is saying may be correct, but there's a flip side to that, and I think that what advocates of the trigger are arguing is, look, we're going after charter conversions for a reason, because we think that this is a way to transform schools that do not have a history of success and need a fairly radical transformation.
Well, Texas is a right-to-work state. We do not have collective bargaining. So that in terms of teacher contracts, what we have are protections for teachers as well as students in state law. And frankly, some charters in Texas operate only 4 hours a day. So some may offer an extended day, but some also offer only 4 hours a day of instruction.
Karen, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Steve, and Steve's on with us from Oakland.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Steve.
Hi, my name is Steve Neat, and I'm the first vice president of the Oakland Education Association. And I was just calling because I feel like it's important for listeners to understand where the parent trigger law, you know, originally came from and who's really supporting it and what's the reality on the ground in terms of how it's being implemented.
Go ahead, Steve, but keep it brief if you can. We just have a couple
of minutes. Sure, I will. I'm sorry. Originally introduced by Green Dot, which is a charter school company. It's also heavily supported by Parent Revolution, which is an AstroTurf group, you know, portrayed as a grassroots group, but it isn't really, and it's funded by Broad, Walton, Rogers, Gates, by big money. And what's been happening in California, and it's only happened a few times, is that outside organizations are coming in, corporations are coming in, not parents, and they're selling the idea of a school takeover to parents. And, you know, the argument has been made, even amongst some of the people who signed the petitions, that it was very misleading the way it was done. So what's happening is it's not really a grassroots action by parents to change a school or to turn around a school. It's a corporation coming in, selling a product to parents, and sometimes.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Steve, but I want to give Sean Kavanaugh a chance to reply of this. Essentially the outside agitator argument.
Well, I hear that argument, fairly often being made, and I'm not saying it's invalid. I mean, look, there have been a lot of big conservative groups behind parent trigger legislation, and the business community has in many states gotten behind parent trigger policies. But it does have a fair amount of support among Democrats. This is not, strictly speaking, a partisan issue. And, you know, as far as, you know, the fact whether this has real grassroots support or if it's sort of manufactured support, I think we're only going to know that, over the next 3 to 5 years when these laws are further along and more schools qualify for the trigger.
Sean?
And we see how much interest there is.
Sean Kavanaugh, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it. Sorry to cut you off like that. Sean Kavanaugh, a reporter for Education Week, who joined us by phone from Bethesda. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flato will be here. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.